Abraham. I heard Abraham. So we're going to be talking about Abraham tonight, a poster boy of faith. And, you know, I didn't even know I was going to be doing a message in this story series. So when I got asked, I was really excited because who was here for the Mother's Day message that Pastor Deborah and Pastor Jess gave? It was awesome. Awesome. Actually, they both gave two awesome stories. But one really stuck out with me was the story that Pastor Deborah talked about with Abraham and his wife, Sarah. And just studying some more, I went and read it again and studying some more on the life of Abraham. Just, you know, I really felt it was really good. And then so when he's like, hey, you're going to do a stories message, I'm like, excited. I know exactly what I'm going to do. And then last night, Pastor Luke asked, like, hey, man, you ready for tomorrow? I'm like, yeah, I'm ready. I'm excited. He's like, what story are you going to do? I was going to do Abraham. He's like, I did Abraham. And now I wasn't here for week one. I was out of town at a wedding, and I hadn't caught up on the podcast. So I was kind of freaking out, like, oh, my gosh, you did Abraham. I'm already ready for this message on Abraham. And I was like, but I thought he said I remember hearing a message on Lot. Who enjoyed that message? And then I podcasted this morning, and I was safe, but I was freaking out a little bit last night. I'm not going to go too much over what Pastor Luke said, again, because he did do Lot. But we're going to talk about Abraham. And I think the cool thing that I found in Abraham is there's a lot of parallels in Abraham that we can see. I saw in my own life, and I believe as young adults we'll see in our own lives if we pay attention. So before we go too much into it, let's go before the Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, and we just count it such a privilege to be in your house tonight, Jesus. I pray, Lord, as we open your word, as we study, that you would open our minds and our hearts to receive what you would have to say, Father. Not my words, Lord God, not because anything I'm saying, Father God, but because you will use me as a vessel to speak to your people tonight, Jesus. So I thank you, Lord God, again, for the opportunity to be here. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Wow. Well, so let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We're just going to go through Abraham. It's, you know, it's in Genesis. Who knows Abraham? Father Abraham had many sons. Had many sons, had Father Abraham. My wife doesn't like this song because she doesn't know her left from her right, but makes it a little difficult. Ba-da-bum, tsh, I'm in trouble later. But that was funny. It was worth it, guys. I love you. I love you. I love you. Was it worth it, babe? I don't know. I'll find out later. Anyway, so Abraham. So in Genesis chapter 12, we meet Abraham. And Abraham isn't necessarily from any old lineage. He's actually from pagan cultures where they weren't godly people. But God calls him, and right off the bat, we see him and his wife. It was then Abram and Sarai. We know off the bat, Abraham was with his father, and they were being called out of the land of his father, and with his wife Sarai, who was barren, and they were going to go to a land that God was going to promise them. So he calls them out. And then right away, he promises them in chapter 12. We're just going to read verse number 1 through 3. Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country from your family and your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you, who curses you, and you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. So boom, Abraham, we see him, introduce him to Abram, and he has promises on his life. So that would be cool, right? Like God says, boom, here's your promise. And we see a little bit, it doesn't take Abram too long, the father of faith. Remember, we're talking about the father of faith here, to mess up. So here we are, verse number 11. And it came to pass, he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, indeed, I know you are a woman beautiful of countenance. You're fine, girl. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me. Like, I want that woman, so who's his husband? Kill him. And so he says, please say you are my sister, that it may be well for me with me for your sake. Yeah, for your sake, right? Like, it'll be well with me for your sake, right? Like, I'm looking out for you, babe. Lie for me, and I will live because of you. So it was when Abram came into Egypt, the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. They noticed too. Look at this. The princess of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her Pharaoh. Who knows? Girls are haters, man. Girls hate on other girls. If a girl's calling that girl fine, you know she's fine. Come on, okay, sorry. But you know, so the princess, everyone's recognizing this is a beautiful girl, and Abraham already set up his story. She's going to lie. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. So here he is, Abraham, or Abram at the time, was given a promise by God, but he comes up to Egypt, and right away his default is, oh my gosh, you got to lie because they're going to kill me. But here he goes with the promise of what he's going to do through Abraham's life, and it didn't take him very long to think that he would just be killed off. So where's his trust? The father of faith, right? So we go on a little bit more in Abraham's story. The next few chapters, we learn about his nephew Lot, which Pastor Luke had an awesome message on that. Again, I listened to it just this morning. Awesome. And then we pick back up in chapter number 15. Verse number 1, here we go with the promise again. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceeding great reward. And he goes, Abram. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus? This is the first parallel that I remember seeing in this Abraham story, that here goes God's promise over your life, over Abram's life. And Abram defaults to saying, but look at my circumstance, God. But look, how can that happen when I go childless, I don't have an heir? And who's ever given the list to God of why you can't do something? I don't know, maybe it's just me in the place today. Why you can think of every last reason why God couldn't use us, why God couldn't bless us, why God couldn't take us out of our current circumstance, like God doesn't know us. And here goes Abram giving his excuse unto God. And we find down in verse number 6 of the same chapter, and I think this is really going to be a key verse for the message tonight. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Underline that verse for you, if you will, if you have your Bible with you, or highlight it in your device. Because I believe that, especially the word, and he believed in the Lord. See, because he gave him the list of why, but at the end of the day, he believed in the Lord, and then it accounted to him as righteousness. And we also will see that later in Hebrews when we talk in the hall of faith, and Abraham's the first person we're talking about. We're talking about that in the Sunday morning services, because he believed in the Lord. Remember that. So again, we go on with Abraham's life. We see him getting older, and the promise is still that he was going to bless Abraham through what seemed like he would need to have children. And Abraham's getting older and older and doesn't have children. So again, Abram's taking it into his own hands. In chapter 16, we see his wife Sarai, still named, I get confused, Sarah, Sarai. There's a name change there. There's probably another message in that, but when God changes your name, he has a new plan for you, amen? So sometimes we kind of hang out with our old identities, but God has something for us. He wants to change our name. He wants us to give us a new plan. When we come to Christ, God has a plan for your life, amen? So here's Sarai, and she goes, look, I know God's promise for you. We're getting older. It's not happening. Maybe they're thinking, maybe we're supposed to do something about it. So in the natural, Sarai knows that she is barren. She goes, Abraham, you know what? Here's my my maiden. They had a lot of land, and so this was her maid servant. Go have relations with her and have your child, so we can see the promise of God fulfilled in our life. You know, here goes another parallel that we, again, through our own calculations, through things that we see as so godly, I have to make this happen. We try to force blessings on our life through what we recognize, through situations and circumstances that we see. Forcing a job, forcing a school, forcing a relationship. Because, oh my gosh, they go to church, I go to church, it must be right. Right? They call themselves Christian. They even raise their hands during worship. You don't even know them. But, oh my gosh, you sprung. And it's, you know, like, and guys get sprung quick, guys. Let's be real. What's that song? It's probably an old song. I don't know. I'm too old. I'm sprung. Okay. Anyways, there's probably a lot of songs about that. None of them are Christian, so we won't talk about it in the house of God. So here he goes, has a child in his effort to fulfill God's promise for him, as if God needs us to help him out. God, I'm looking out for you, man. You made me a promise. Let me just go ahead and do it for you. Let's speed up this process. I'm getting old. So he has Ishmael. Now, the crazy thing about Ishmael, Ishmael is a representative of Abram's effort. But remember, he believed. See, there's times in our lives where we'll believe something, but yet we want to bring our own efforts into it. Now, the crazy thing about it, this is kind of a little rabbit trail, but it's a free one for you tonight, is that God still blessed Ishmael. God still blessed Ishmael. And I was talking to Pastor Richard, and my belief, you know, I believe that God blessed Ishmael. Let's see, in chapter 17, verse number 20. "And as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes, and I will make him a great nation." So here goes our natural effort. You know, sometimes the things that we do in our own natural understanding can be blessed by God, but it was done out of belief. So, and the reason I bring that up is because we'll beat ourselves up so much in our lives because we want to write everything off as everything I've done is so wrong and I made this mistake and I made that mistake. And this is clearly a mistake on behalf of Abraham and Sarai. Because what happened is they took, in their belief, we have to remember this, in his belief, thinking, you know what, I'm just going to help God out. He didn't doubt that, you know, there was the doubt that it could happen, right? There was the maybe he lost some faith. You know, we can lose faith because years went by. God made us a promise and years went by. I heard that verse when I was at children's church that he would never leave me nor forsake me. But the last 10 years of my life, all I've felt is alone. There's been some doubt in our life. And so we looked for ways in our own understanding, in relationships, in bad decisions, in drugs, in sex, and whatever it might be. We looked for voids to fill what God already said, because I'm supposed to not be alone. That's a promise from God. I believe that I'm not supposed to be alone, but I'm going to do it my own way. But what we see through Ishmael is that God said, you know what? I'm going to redeem what you tried to do in your effort, because I love you and I'm going to take care of you, but this is the plan I have for you. In chapter 17, the next verse, "But my covenant I will establish with Isaac, whom Sarah will bear to you at this set time next year. But my plan, I'm going to see it through. The plan that I have for you, the promise fulfilled, is going to be through my way." God has a plan that's his plan for you, and once we get on track, God's going to see it through. Amen? That's a word for somebody tonight. Next year, it's going to happen. Whatever it might be. You know what that is. That's a word for you tonight. Take that one. Stand on the promises of God that he has for you, because even in our sin, even in our mistakes, God's promise is going to stay fulfilled. Amen? And we see in chapter 17, at 99 years old, Abraham finally gets a clear promise. Before, he's like, look, I'm going to bless you, Abraham. Go outside. Look at the stars. They're countless. That's going to be you. It doesn't make, you know, all of them are alluding to something. But not until we see in chapter 17, when he's 99 years old, does he finally say, I'm going to give you a kid. Here's your clear-cut promise. Like, why couldn't you just say that from the beginning? That you, I mean, again, it was implied, but it wasn't cut clear. God, why couldn't it just be clear? Why did he have to, essentially, God's beating around the bush. I mean, that's my interpretation of the verses. He's kind of, oh yeah, I'm going to, he never really says, you know, lay it flat out. But I believe that God, when he gives us promises, when he gives us our visions, when he has a word for our life, he's going to give us as much as we can handle at the time. What you can believe for. Maybe, again, this is me thinking here. If when Abraham was a young man, younger, when this first all started, had God said, I'm going to give you a kid, Abraham might have spun out. He might have freaked out a little bit different. Maybe he had to believe in different kind of ways when he's just saying, I'm going to bless you. There's going to be many nations under you, because he knows, at this time he knows. When God promised him, Sarai was already known to be barren. It was already known. It's not like God promised him, I'm going to bless you with many nations. And then, let me get started on trying to have kids now so I can fill your promise, God. We just found out Sarai's barren. It was already known it was barren. It says it in the verse. We see it in the Bible. Abram and his barren wife Sarai have an encounter with God. God gives them a promise after the circumstances set. So sometimes we already have our set circumstances. We already have what we already see. Man, that threw me off. Those last words just came out. What did I say? See, that gets me in trouble with my wife. Like, I think I just have, when you're like emptying something and there's like a straw, there's still water in the straw. Like, it just, like, you blow it out and then there's still beads. I think those words were just, and I just pushed them out. Anybody else can relate to that kind of stuff? And just, yeah, I don't know. Amen. Oh, man. But in the story of Abraham, we see that Sarah goes on to have Isaac. And we see that Abraham later becomes a father of faith for sticking with it. But it all goes back to what we saw in chapter 15, verse number 6. If we could pop that up. And he believed in the Lord, and he accounted it for him as righteousness. As young adults, in our generation, it can be so difficult to feel like, man, we want to do the right thing. You're in church here tonight for a reason. You could be other places. You probably have friends that are other places that maybe you wish you were there as well. You have things that you could be getting into that maybe are the opposite of being in church. And maybe, I'm not saying everyone has all these bad thoughts or intentions. But the reality is there's other things that we can be doing. And there's other ideas that we have maybe for our lives. But even if we don't want to be out doing bad, even if we don't want to, take life into our own hands, there's going to be times where doubt and faithlessness comes into our minds. See, because when we get saved, when we receive Jesus, we hear about the promises, and you come week in and week out to church and you hear about the blessings of God and what we talked about, how God will never leave you nor forsake you, and all the promises that we hear week after week. Cling on to the word, get into your Bible and see, and you read through the Psalms. Oh my gosh, he's you're my exceedingly great reward, he told Abraham. He told Abraham that he was. So we hear verses like this, but then our life does not always line up. And Abraham is a perfect example of, again, and so we read through these stories in a few minutes, but this is real life time going by years. I mean, it was 13 years from when he did it himself with Ishmael to when he was told about Isaac. And that was years after he'd already been promised. So we're talking decades. Some of us aren't even decades. We don't have two decades under our belt yet. So I'm not here to say you have to wait 20 years before God fulfills the promise. Good luck, guys. That's not what we're talking about tonight. But what we're talking about is we have to understand that we have to keep our belief. And that's why Abraham is the father of faith. Not because he didn't waver. Not because he didn't struggle with faithlessness. Not because he didn't try to take it into his own hands and messed up. Not because he didn't go astray for a while and maybe he messed his situations up here, made some bad decisions, some bad relationship decisions like we have, but because he believed. And tonight, we want to believe. Amen? We had an encounter with a very real God during worship tonight. And I believe that some of you I pray that your encounter is continuing as we delve into the word, as we hear what God will have to say, as God is speaking to your hearts even now. That there's a challenge, but there's an encouragement in your heart. The idea is to leave here tonight encouraged. To know that even in your faith wavering, even in your doubt, even in your struggles with, is this real? God loves you. And the promises remain the same. Write this one down. Sorry. Your promise is not dependent on your faith. There are no contingencies to the promise. You get that one? The promise that God has for your life does not, whether you have faith in it or not, does not determine whether there's not there's a promise. Let me give you an example. My son. If you guys know him, he can be a little bit challenging. And some of you might have seen me beat my boy right before service. This is real life, all right? It was on the butt, it was the belt. I didn't really beat him, but I spanked him. This is real life. It's all right? Is that okay? All right, if I spank my son? Okay. Sometimes it can be challenging. So if I tell my son, hey, son, if you behave good in class today, if you have a good day at school, I promise you, I'm going to take you to Chuck E. Cheese. He's going to be excited, right? He's going to want to behave. But if you do this, I promise this. Let me tell you another promise. Son, because we found out the other day that for some reason, well, parenthood is, you learn, all right? You learn as you go. I'm going to preface it with that. We were calling our son bad, man. He was like, you're bad. Why are you acting so bad? But that's what we were speaking over his life. So we found out when, son, do you think you're bad? Yeah, I think I'm bad. Why do you think you're bad? Because I don't listen. And we were realizing, like, man, this is getting a little bit off. But we were thinking how what we were speaking was kind of coming true, and that's what he was believing about himself. Maybe some of you tonight are speaking stuff, believing stuff about yourself that's not true, but you're seeing the fruit of that in your life. I'm here to tell you tonight that God says something else. God has good thoughts about you. God is your Father, and He sees good in you. But, so if I say, son, I love you no matter what, and I promise no matter what you do, I'm going to love you and I'm going to be there for you. That's a no contingency promise. You don't have to do anything to receive my love. I just promise you that, my son. Now, the word of God is a letter to you saying, son, daughter, I promise you, you don't have to do anything, but I love you. You don't have to do anything, but I chose you. You don't have to do anything for you. I died on the cross for your sins so you might live with me in eternity forever. Amen. It's a no contingency promise. The promises aren't contingent on our faith. So lift your head up if you've been struggling with doubt. Lift your head up if you've been struggling with, I just don't have faith in this. I'm coming to church hoping that it ignites something, hoping that it works, but it's not. I leave every week. I go back to doing the same thing because something in me doesn't click. Tonight, I'm telling you, believe in Him. Believe in His promises and watch what He does. These aren't coincidences. The person next to you isn't in this room blessed because they made it on their own. It's because the word of God is true. Amen? So some lessons from Abraham. Grab on and never let go of the promise. Abraham did not let go of that promise. Right from the beginning, when we met Abram, there's a promise that he says. Now, years go by, decades go by, and Abraham doesn't see fruit of that promise. Well, although we see him bless it financially, but you know, because sometimes we'll have blessings in our life, but it doesn't look like the way of what he promised us. Does that make sense? If the promise, God told you one thing, and maybe everything else is going good, you're doing good in school, you have a great relationship, girlfriend, boyfriend, you got a job, making decent money, but God promised you he was going to restore your relationship with your parents. And that's not, it doesn't even look like it's happening. You guys keep fighting. You can't get on the same page. But there's blessing in your life, but that promise doesn't look like it's getting any better. And we'll forget about all the good things going on and only just focus on, oh my, I got to make this happen. God's not doing anything in my life. So Abram was a blessed man. And maybe he wavered on this other area by doing things his own way, trying to make things happen, wondering, God, are you still going to do this? I know you're taking care of me. I know I'm a rich man. I know I have people that work for me, and I can eat all I want. but I still don't see any sign of your promises coming in my life. The word for you tonight is to hold on to that promise. Because as you believe, it will be accounted to you for righteousness, and then your Isaac is going to come. Can I tell you this? Even though we saw the promise for Ishmael, don't sacrifice Isaac for Ishmael. In other words, don't settle for Ishmael when God has Isaac for you. Don't settle for, oh, the blessing of this, when really God wants to do something greater in your life. And there's people in here that God has given big visions, big promises, big dreams. I know. I could see it. And that sounds kind of creepy, but I do. I don't even see your faces, but I know that there's promises in here of what God wants to do in this region. So if there's a promise for the Inland Empire, then there's a promise for the people in this room tonight. And so there's visions inside of you. There's jobs inside of you. There's businesses inside of you. There's ministries inside of you tonight that you have to hold on to the vision. You have to hold on to the promise. Because things are going to happen in our life that makes it look like it's totally wiped out. There's some of you in this room tonight. Maybe you're new to God. Maybe you're a new Christian. Or maybe you're not even a Christian at all. And when we say God promised me something, I've never heard God talk to me like he talked to Abraham, told him a custom promise for you, Joshua, for you, Pastor Joe, for you, Antonio. This is your custom promise. Maybe you haven't heard a verbal promise particular for your life. But I have good news for you. See this Bible right here? It's full of promises that go across for each and every one of us. And because of Abraham's faithfulness, hey, we're heirs, we're partakers in that. And actually in Galatians chapter 3, verse number 14, if we could just pop it up real quick, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, which is us Gentiles, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Wow. So you mean because of Abraham's faith, the promises that you have for me, him, even though it doesn't say your name, fill in the blank, here's your promise, I can cash in on Abraham's promises? Yep, that's exactly what it's saying. That's Bible right there. Let me give you an example, just to be transparent with you. My wife and I were going through a financial situation where, bills are going to pile up and income is changing. And I haven't been given a promise from God saying, Antonio, I'm going to give you a raise. Antonio, I'm going to throw jobs at you. Antonio, I'm going to send you some money in the mail. I haven't been given that promise. But you know the promises I've been given? That my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. That he will never leave me nor forsake me. That seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Now that's a blanket promise for each and every one of us tonight. So I don't have to just go on, well, all these spiritual people are hearing their name in these promises, and I don't have that. The Word of God is full of promises for you. The promises that we have access to as believers. Amen? Did you guys get something good tonight from Jesus? Man.